Okay, good night of Shabbos. This is Parshas Vayakhel, and we're going to look at a fascinating piece that comes up regarding the Maros Hatzovos that the women dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. And the title of today's shiur is Reflections on Beauty. And we'll see what that means. There's a few double entendres in that. So let's start out with what we know. Some of you are familiar with this medrash, and there's other mefarshim on it. So let's start out with the basic pasuk. It tells us, right, that Vayas is in, this is in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Ches. Vayas es hakior nechoshes, the washing instrument was made out of copper. Veskano nechoshes b'maros hatzovos, from the mirrors of the valorous woman, asher tzavu pesach ohel moed, that gathered by the entrance to the ohel moed. So, what's this talking about? Doesn't really explain to you where these mirrors came from, who these women were, why they were gathering. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, and Rashi over there says, "Benos Yisrael hoyo biyodin maros." The daughters of Israel, they had mirrors, sharos behen kashen miskashtos, that they would use to look at themselves when they wanted to beautify themselves. V'af oisam lo ikvu melahavi l'nedovas hamishkan, and those mirrors that were used for their own personal care, they did not hold back from donating. But there was a problem. V'hoya mois Moshe behen. Moshe was disgusted with this contribution. Mipnei she'asuyin li'etzahara, because the mirrors were really used for the Yetzirah, because the woman would dress up and it would lead to to other people being nichshol. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw the mirrors at best something to tolerate, at worst an instrument of sin, and certainly he didn't want it to have a part in a base of Igdash. That was Moshe's thinking. Amadol Karosh Baruch Hu Kabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "You accept these mirrors, ki elu chaviven olai min hakol, because these mirrors are more dear to me than all the other donations. Sha'al yedeyem ha'amidu hanoshim tzavos rabos b'Mitzrayim, because through them, through these mirrors, the Jewish women were able to establish many, many multitudes of Jews in Mitzrayim." So now the interpretation changes in the pasuk. Instead of it being the mirrors that the valorous women gathered by the Olmoed, it means the mirrors that helped them produce tzvos, helped them produce multitudes. What happened? What's the story? So Rashi goes on to tell you the famous medrash, Kishahoyu ba'aleim yegein b'avodas farech, when their husbands in Mitzrayim were worn out from the backbreaking work, hayo holchos umolichos lehemachol mishta, they would go and bring to them food and drink, umachilos osam, and they would feed them. Menotlos hamaros, and then they would take these mirrors, the cho'achas ro atzma imbailo, b'mara, and then the woman would somehow show themselves in the mirror with their husbands, so they would, the husbands would see themselves as a couple, reflected in the mirror, and they would in some way goad the men. They would say, "Mishadal to b'devarim." They would push them with words. Lomar ani noam imcha. They'd say, "Look, I'm more beautiful than you." How this worked exactly, I'm not quite sure. Maybe there was a different psychology in that time, but the point is somehow that was very arousing for the men to have their wives show themselves and the husbands in the mirror and say, "Look how beautiful I am. I'm, even more beautiful than you." And Rashi says, "Mitoch kach mevius ba'aleinu de taiva." Again, that aroused the husbands, even though they really were worn out and wouldn't normally have had the taiva, and this kachas lohem, and they became attached to each other. Umis abros v'yoldos sham, and then they became pregnant and they gave birth. And the pasuk in Shir Shirim, Shenemar Tachas Atapuch Ol Harticha, underneath perhaps underneath the apple tree, but it means, you know, in the orchards or in the beautiful places, you woke me up or you aroused me, and we had children, and that's the medrash. V'zeo Shenemar B'maros Atzovos. And this was what the pasuk is talking about these mirrors from the valorous women. And not only that, Rashi adds an interesting point, which we will talk about a little later as well. Nasa kior mehem. It was fitting that the kior, that the wash basin was made out of this, because that the water from the kior was also used for the hashkoa sota. It was used for the sota ritual, and the sota ritual was seen by Chazal as something that brought shalom bayis, because if a man had any suspicions, he had a way to verify his suspicions and settle the matter one way or the other. Shehu losum shalom ben ish l'ishto, because the water from the kior made shalom. Hashkos meimayim shebesocho eshekina l'bayil v'nistra. Any man that had suspicions, he can go through a process and a ritual that would resolve the suspicions and allow the couple to move forward in their relationship. So that's the story about the Maaros Atzovos according to Rashi. Now, Ibn Ezra and Sepharno also, slightly different lashon, but I'm going to quote the Ibn Ezra, learns it a little differently. He learns that the mirrors, that this was more of a kind of ascetic approach, meaning that the women were Porish. According to Rashi, the mirrors were used for a good purpose, to arouse their husbands, to do the mitzvah, and that was a good thing. According to Ibn Ezra, the woman pulled away from Olam Hazeh, and that was the mitzvah. Let's take a look at Ibn Ezra on the same pasuk. V'tam atzovos, ki mishpat kol anoshim lisyafos liros paneyem b'chol boker. Because it's the way of women to look at themselves in the mirror every morning to make themselves beautiful, but maros nechoshes ozuchuchis, with copper or glass mirrors, lasakin ha'pa'odur shalroshem, to fix their, I think it means their bangs. Haman is karm b'sefer Yeshaya, that's referred in Sefer Yeshaya, and kiminog Yisrael hoya kiminog Yishmael adayom. And the way the daughters of Israel behaved is very similar to the way the people of Yishmael do, that the women beautified themselves in front of the mirrors. V'hinei hoyu b'Yisrael noshem ovdes Hashem. There was amongst the Jews women who served Hashem, shesoru mitarvus ve'olam. They pulled away from the desires of this world, v'nosdu maro sehem nedava, and they gave away as a gift their mirrors. Ki ein lem tzarach ol lisyafos. They didn't need to make themselves beautiful anymore. They had no interest in the trappings of this world. Rak bos yom yom pesach ohel moed. They would gather every day by the ohel moed, which there wasn't a mishkan really yet, so it could have meant some other structure, could have meant Moshe Rabbeinu's tent, I don't know. Liuspalav lishmo divrei hamitzvos, to daven and to hear. And that's a zeo shir tzavu pesach ohel moed. That's what it means that the women gathered by the ohel moed in multitudes. It meant they came to serve Hashem, and they were casting off the trappings of Olam Hazeh, not having any concern anymore with superficiality and with beautifying themselves. Now, you've got really, it would seem to be two contradictory approaches, right? Who's right, Ibn Ezra or Rashi? The truth is that really Ibn Ezra and Rashi are not really arguing about the approach, although Ibn Ezra doesn't quote the Medrash because it's not his derech to quote Midrashim and insert them into the Pasha Pshat, as is Rashi's derech. So, but the fact is that even Rashi agrees that the women did donate their mirrors at that time. And you look in the Lashon of Rashi, it says, "Af osan osan lo ikfu milahavi." Even that they didn't hold back from giving. Meaning Rashi also understood that the women, the ones who wanted at that moment in time, at the time of the Davos HaMishkan, that they wanted to be Porish, they didn't hold back from giving their mirrors. They gave their mirrors over. But there's an overlay that Rashi was saying that it was dear to Hashem, those mirrors, because at a different time when it was necessary and it was important, they made themselves very beautiful. And the truth is that it really depends on the madrega of the couple. Right, so at that time in the midbar, they were on a very high madrega, and the woman wanted to be parish. Of course, they did that with the understanding that their husbands were also ready to exist on that level without any trappings of gashmius. So they could give away their mirrors. However, at a different time, when the husbands needed their wives to be beautiful for them in order to become aroused, they were very dedicated to that process. And that's important to understand. And it's not just about whether or not you're a tzaddik, as if a tzaddik never needs his wife to look beautiful, and a regular person does, because we find a very interesting Gemara about Choni HaMa'agel. Choni HaMa'agel was a famous tzaddik who he got his name because his prayers were so powerful that he was able to even be what the Gemara considers to be petulant in front of Hashem. He made a circle, and he said, "I'm not going to leave the circle until it starts raining." And Hashem said, "You know, only to you I'll listen. Somebody else, that would be chutzpah." But the point is, Choni HaMa'agel was a great tzaddik, and yet the Gemara in Tainus, on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, notes that the Talmidim of Choni HaMa'agel, one of his Talmidim, asks him, "My time of Kimota Ma'alamosa, why, when you come into the city, Nafka de Bisu, your wife comes out, Kimikashta, all adorned, you know, with makeup and whatever else she had on, and looking really beautiful, right?" The Talmud was surprised at this and thought it was some chisaron and sneers or something. Amalahu, he said to his Talmidim, "Kedesh lo etan einai b'isha acheres. She does this so I should not, my eyes should not be tempted to look at another woman." So you see that, you know, the idea of a wife looking beautiful is not limited to the duress and stress of the dar of Shibud in Mitzrayim, that they needed the wives to resort to desperate measures to arouse their husbands. Even a great tzaddik like Choni HaMa'agel, his wife understood that for him, what he needed was her to look beautiful, and she did her best to do that. And looking beautiful is something that is very valued by Torah thought. It's not just considered a small thing. There are many examples, which is beyond today's shir, but I'll just give you another one from Gemara and Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. They talk about early takonas that they made in Eretz Yisrael for Yishev Ha'aretz and for other factors. And one of the things that the Chachamim did was they created a kind of merchant network, Shehu Rochlin Machzirin Bayaris, that the merchants should be able to go, Machzirin Bayaris, should be able to go from city to city. Why? So that they should have more food? So that maybe they should, you know, be able to invest and do more business? No, that's not the reason. The reason is, Mishum Tachshitei Noshim, so that they should be able to bring the makeup and the adornments for women from different locales, at different, you know, places where they were able to import these things, kedesh lo yisganu al ba'aleihem, so that the women should not become repulsive in their husband's eyes. So the Chachamim went out of their way to be mesaken that there be merchants, even though we find in the Gemara and other places merchants were not considered very tznius, and the Chachamim had not a very positive feeling about merchants altogether, because they kind of got too involved in people's business and such. Nevertheless, they made a takana. They wanted to have a network of commerce that these merchants should be able to bring various makeup and other cosmetics and instruments of beauty so that the women should not become repulsive in their husband's eyes. This is no small thing. Now, if you understand that, it'd be easier to understand the question that the Sisi Chachamim raises. Remember again, the Medrash says, right, the Medrash says that Moshe was repulsed by the mirrors because he felt the mirrors were an instrument of the Yetzer Hara. Hashem corrected him, but that was his original thinking. The only thing is that earlier in the Parsha, there's a description of various items of jewelry in Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Beis that they also donated. And let's list them. It says, Vayvo Hanoshim Ahanoshim, the men brought over the women, Kol Nediv Lev, everybody of a generous heart. Heviu, they brought these different items of jewelry. Chach, Vanezim, different types of nose rings. V'tabas, and another kind of ring. V'kumas, and a kumas. Now, what is a kumas? Well, kumas was basically an item. It was functional, which we'll see about a little bit later, but it also was an item of jewelry, and it was worn in a woman's private area. And so Sifrei Chachamim says, I don't understand something. Moshe Rabbeinu is upset about mirrors, but he takes the kumas without comment. What's pshat? So Sifrei Chachamim says, the reason is because kumas ha'yigdei lovato l'yetzahara. The kumas was there in some way to stop the yetzahara, which we'll talk about in a moment. But the mirrors were simply there to promote promiscuity. So what is that talking about? So the Rashi in Brachos on Daf Chaf Dalet explains the function of a kumas, and he says as follows. You can look it up. It's on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Kumas, tefush shel beis harechem, it was in the shape of the woman's private area. She'osin v'noseihen, people would make this for their daughters, v'nokvin kosli beis harechem, and they basically would create piercings in the skin in that area to attach this item, k'der shenokvin es nozaim, very similar like piercing the ears, v'tochun oso k'dei shleis dakul v'nzacharim, and this would be put over there in order to stop molestation. Now, maybe today we have other ideas how to prevent molestation, but this was the ancient molestation prevention program. Really, kumas was an item of jewelry that they got from the Moavim and from the Mitzrim, but it seems that the Jews also used it. And therefore, the Sifrei Chachamim says that the function of kumas was essentially to prevent. No, so it wasn't disgusting to Moshe. Understanding this, once Hashem pointed out to Moshe that the mirrors were used not for the women to look beautiful for other men and not to be pritzus, but the women used those mirrors to look beautiful for their husbands, so then it had a very high function and they were quite accepted. Now, some of you might be listening to this and thinking to themselves, well, I suppose the people that are not married probably don't know exactly what to think, because there's really no way to describe marriage and intimacy and the complexities of it until after you're married. So you're probably just thinking, well, I can't wait till I get married. And what are all these guys who are married having any problems whatsoever with? I wish I was in their situation. And it's point well taken, but time will tell. And you'll have your own experiences to understand what goes on inside a marriage. But the married men are probably thinking, some of them anyway, how come I'm not so lucky? Why is my wife not coming to greet me like Honia Ma'agel's wife? And why is my wife not behaving as those valorous women in Mitzrayim? I would like, after a hard day's work, for that to happen. So let's talk about this, because I hope for some of you have that, and that's not going on. But I think it is normal in relationships for resentments to build up and for people to express their resentment and disappointment in various kinds of passive-aggressive behavior. And certainly one way that women express their resentments and disappointments with their husbands, and it's not necessarily consciously, it could be unconsciously, is by withdrawing, not being interested in physical intimacy, and not taking care of their looks. It takes a lot of effort, especially as you get older, to take care of your looks. And just think about it. If you don't think your husband cares about you, if you don't think your husband cares enough about you, if you resent things about him, and you have in front of you a really nice piece of cake or an extra helping of kugel, and you're very, very stressed out, why not just have the extra piece of cake or the extra piece of kugel? And, unfortunately, for many of us at a certain age, if we don't drastically cut what we eat, we're going to get to be overweight, and some of us can get to be obese. So the point is, and other efforts to look beautiful, all that takes tremendous focus. If a woman is not doing it, she's not doing it because, in some ways, she's acting out her resentment, and that's a sad and unfortunate fact. And what we need to do is to pay attention to this and understand it. Now, you see, in Mitzrayim, the Shalom Bayis was wonderful. The reason why the Shalom Bayis was wonderful in Mitzrayim is because they had a common enemy. As we know, Rashi in Bamidbar, Perichof Beis, Pasuk Dalet, explains that even though Moab and Midian were historical enemies, the fact is that the people of Moab turned to the elders of Midian for advice when facing the threat of the Jews coming from Mitzrayim to take over Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, weren't these people sworn enemies? But the answer is, from the fear of the Jews, they made peace. When you have a common enemy, it's very easy to make peace. So there was a lot of Shalom Bayis, ironically, in Mitzrayim, because they had bigger fish to fry, so to speak. So no one had time to be resentful. What they had to do was survive. And the women appreciated their husbands who were working all day in backbreaking labor, even if they had other shortcomings that they were might have been resentful about at a different time. And it was very easy for them, relatively speaking, to feel love and gratitude for their husbands. However, we don't have that. And we have to work. And we have to understand some basic principles. It says in Mishlei, in Perachov Zayin, Pasuk Yates, Kamayim Panim Laponim, like water is face-to-face, when someone is face-to-face with water, Kein Leva Adam La Adam, so is the heart of one man to another. What does Rashi say there? He says, Lefi Masha Adam Yodea Shechaver Ovo, Kein Humar Lo Ponim. As much as a person feels that his friend loves him, so he shows it on his face. Mesudas David says even more specifically, Kmo Derech HaMayim Marmis upon him, just like water shows a reflection of the face. Just like in the water one sees the reflection of one's face, if you im sochakos, sochakos, im atsevos, atsevos, if they're happy, they're happy. If they're sad, they're sad. When you look into water, so kein leva adam la adam. So too the heart of man to another man, in libo tov al chazero, if his heart is with good over his friend, yetiv, gam libo, then his heart will be good too. Vimra teira gamhi. And if it has badness in it, it will also be bad. So basically, what the pasuk here in Mishlei is saying is that you get back the way that you feel toward the other person. And in relationships, certainly between husband and wives, this is a very important principle. Basically, a woman is looking to feel safe. If a woman feels safe and secure and loved, she'll be very generous with her body and be very generous with her husband in every possible way. If a woman doesn't feel safe and doesn't feel respected, then a lot of times intimacy becomes a battleground because they feel that their body is just being used. So, you know, here's the paradox. The paradox is if you focus on honoring and respecting your wife, she'll be very willing and interested in time and with a lot of work and effort to be more physically responsive to you. If you're focusing on the physicality of your wife, she may feel disrespected. There is the Gemara in Shabbos says, "Hamechabed ishto yosa megufo." Literally, it means you treat your wife better than yourself. You honor your wife more than yourself. However, my Zadie, who was actually a grandchild of the Triska Magid, always would say over a Triska Vart about this, which is that Hamechabed isho yosa megufo. After your body no longer has needs, when you don't have any more desire and you still honor your wife, that's the real kavod. So my Zadie didn't say this beferish, but as many of us know, sometimes after we have relations with our wife and we feel satisfied, that's first when women want to connect. And a lot of times men feel tired and want to go to sleep. But that's a bad idea. Mechabed isha yosa megufo. This is an investment. If at that moment where your desire is sated, you show a tremendous regard, respect, and affection for your wife, she will feel very connected to you and you will get many, many dividends from overcoming that selfishness. Another similar Gemara, one of my favorite Gemaras in how it reflects the simple dynamic between husband and wife, is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on the Lamed Testament Aleph. The Gemara says, "Chein Hayav Shimon Elazar Omer, Ma'isa Be'isha Achas." There was a woman, she nislis lechaver, she was married to a Talmud Chacham, "V'aisa Kosheres Lo Tefillin Al Yado." and she respected him, and she would help him every day. She would tie his tefillin onto his arm. Nisa Samuchas, unfortunately, her husband died, and she then had to marry somebody else, and she married a tax collector. Now, in the time of the Gemara, a tax collector was one of the lowest of the low, because they weren't collecting necessarily legitimate funds. They were also really stealing. And so she married a tax collector. So she went from being married to a big Talmud Chacham, a Chavir, a great man, to marrying a Muchas, a tax collector. And what would she do? Haisa Kasheris lo Kishrei Muchas al Yado. In the morning, she would help him get started, and she would tie his special signets and, you know, material from the tools of his trade onto his hand. So the Gemara is saying really an important point, which is that a woman who is loyal is loyal. It doesn't make a difference who her husband is. He could be a big Talmud Chacham or he could be a big bum. If he's smart enough that he treats his wife with respect, she will be loyal to him and loyal to his agenda. So this woman, she was a good, loyal woman. That was her avoda in life. If she was married to a Talmud Chacham, she was loyal to him and helped him with his tefillin. If she was married to a tax collector, she helped him also. That was her job. Now, and our job is to understand this, that our role is to show tremendous regard, respect, reflection, love, overcome any of our own passive-aggressive tendencies, and really be available. And when you do that, in most situations, there's no promises or guarantees, but in most situations, if it's a sustained effort over time, then you will get kamayim panim al panim. You will get reflected back to you that kind of love and respect, and you will get what the men of Sheba Mitzrayim had and what Choni Ma'agel had. And this is the Klei Yakar says, that Ohol Moed in the Pasuk, when it says Shertzavu Pesach Ohol Moed, Klei Yakar says that's referring to their own tents, that their own tents were like a base of Migdash, because the women connected to their husbands in a sincerest way with the best intentions and were able to produce wonderful Jewish families. I'm going to shut off the recording. We have time to take one question, and then we'll have to conclude for today.